For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's May the 21st. We're in Derech Hashem, and we're in Perek Dal, in Chelek Dal, Perek Dal, which is Kriya Shema. We did the first half last week, and now we're going to do the second half of this Perek. Now, one point which I meant to make this point last week, and I forgot to do it, is that the Ramchal breaks down the words of Shema to say what they each mean, and in doing this, he points out the difference between Hashem and Elokeinu. So the Ramchal writes that Hashem, besides Haya, Hoyve, V'yeh, he was, he is, and he will be. But in addition to that, he's also the Adon Hakol. Because you say it, it's written Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, but we say it Aleph Dalet. So Aleph Dalet means Adon Hakol, the master of all. So the name Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, there the Ikur Kavana is that everything is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything revolves around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing has independent power. Everything is completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing can exist without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Elokeinu, the Shem Elokus, which means power, there the Kavana is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally independent. He's not dependent on anything. He's the Baal HaYecholos, Baal HaKoychos Kulam. Everything he has, everything comes from, all power comes from him. And he is completely independent. So Hashem is Hayah Hayve V'yeh, and everything is dependent on him. Elokeinu, he is completely independent. He doesn't need anything or anybody. Everything and everybody needs him. He doesn't need anything or anybody. That's Hashem Elokeinu. And then of course Hashem again, Hayah V'yeh, and totally, and everything's dependent on him. And then Echad, the Achdus we talked about last week. Any questions now before we go further? Okay. Now, one of the things that a person should accomplish in saying Kriya Shema is a person should make up their minds that they're willing to be Meiser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that they are willing to give up their lives, and for that matter, to endure any kind, all kinds of yisurin, all kinds of afflictions and pain and troubles and whatever, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should try to envision themselves being ready to give up their lives. There's a big tayeles in a person thinking, actually imagining themselves in a situation where a guy had a gun to their heads and was saying, bow down to this Avodah Zarah or I'll shoot you, and saying, I will not bow down, and being shot. There's a big tayeles in thinking through that scenario. Because when a person is actually Meiser Atzmai Al Kiddush Hashem, there is a huge Hisgalus HaShechina that brings the Shechina into this world in a very, very big way. Ramchal writes. Now, Baruch Hashem, we're not regularly put into that situation. It's a very difficult place to be. But even though we're not actually in that situation, but if we imagine being in that situation and Taka agreeing to go through with it, then in a smaller measure, we actually bring the Shechina into this world. It brings the world closer to the Shechina, brings the Shechina closer to this world. It links the two together. Because the whole purpose of the world is to be Megalek Kvod Shamayim. That's the whole reason. The only reason for existence is to be Marbe Kvod Shamayim. And to insist that there's nothing else, there's nothing worth compromising the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even my life is not worth it. So that brings the Shekhinah into this world. It's not just a great zchus for me personally when I'm thinking that. It is for the whole world. It brings the Shekhinah into this world. So as you're saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad is a makabel alai kol mine yisurim. I accept upon myself all forms of affliction. The chol mine misa, and all forms of death. L'kadei shmoi, to sanctify his name, ulema'an yichudoi, and for his being echad, for his singularity, his singularness, if there's such a word. It's not an easy thing to think about. You have to really think it through. And a person can easily scare themselves. Say, I wouldn't go through that. I wouldn't want to go through that kind of pain. But if one can do that, it is a great ta'elus for the world and for himself. I might have shared the story with you once before that Rav Klavsky Zichron Racha was one of the great Rebbeim of Neri Yisrael, my former Rebbe, and also my Rosh Yeshiva. He was the Rosh Yeshiva for a short time after Rav Weinberg Zichron Racha was Nifter, before he was Nifter. One of his grandsons said he once walked into his apartment and he saw Rav Klavsky, he had the fire on the stove. The stove top, the fire was on. There's no pot on the stove, just the fire. And he was leaning his head close to the fire and pulling back. And he would lean his head close to the fire and pull it back. So his grandson asked him, "What are you doing?" So he said, "This is so hot. I can only get this close and it gets too hot. I can't keep my face here anymore. Can you imagine what Gehenna must feel like?" So he was trying to feel how bad it is to do an Avera. Now that's not the exact same thing as this. We're just showing you the concept of trying to bring home the point of these things that we don't experience. Now, to think through what it would be like to be in that situation and realize what it is that we're giving up, what we're gaining, the amount of pain that we would endure, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not give us more pain than we can handle, what we would be doing for this world. It's an unbelievable thing to think about. And it is a very powerful thing for the world. It is a very, very powerful thing. And it is worth it to do it. And the best time to do it is when one says Shema. You can either do it when you say the pasuk of Shema with your hand over your eyes, or you can do it when you say the first parsha and you say B'chol levavcha or b'chol nafshecha. Afilu hu noiteles nafshecha. Even if he's taking your nefesh. To be meister nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I want to read you one paragraph of the Ramchal just to sum up the first pasuk of Shema. There's a lot of points here that he makes, but let's just read it through so we have it straight. And then I'll pause if anybody has questions. He writes, Nimtza klal inin pasuk rishon shal Shema hu. So it comes out that the general inyan of the first pasuk of Shema is as follows. There's a lot here. So it takes a while to build up to the point where you're thinking about all these things. But first of all, ha'edus v'ha'hida b'yichudo yisparach b'chol havchanoisav. The testimony and the knowledge in the oneness of Hashem in all of what that means. That's first of all. Second of all, kabolas ol malchusai v'hamlichai al kol habrum kulam. Accepting the yoke of his malchus and being mamlechim on the entire creation. That's two. V'gamor b'daitenu l'himasa al kidushmai. And the third thing is to make up our minds to give up our lives for Kiddush Hashem. That's three general points. Knowing his yichud, being mamlechim, and making up our minds to give up our lives. Vitoldos kol zeh, the result of all this is Hayyais Adon Baruch Hu Machzik Memshalas Yehuda Akol HaBriya. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu holds that he will become more, it will become more evident his control over the entire Bria. V'ikana v'ishtabed kachos hara, and the kachos of evil will become subjugated. V'ischazek hatoy v'ischabroi, and good will become strengthened and encouraged. And that HaKadosh Baruch will be accessible to his Bria, that the Bishlemus. And there'll be a Hashpa that will come down to the creations as much as they need to raise up. And then they will be given a clarity and a shine to the Brios in their recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all of this comes out of the first pasuk of Shema. In the three Iker points, being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accepting his, being Mamlech, sorry, let me start again. One is knowing and testifying to his Yichud, his being echad. Two is accepting his malchus and being mamlechim over everything. And three is making up our minds to give up our lives, right? Okay, any questions on the first pasuk of Shema?
Yeah. To be able to make up your mind to give up your life for him, it seems like, okay, everyone can say it, but it's the type of thing that someone actually has to be going through it.
That's why you have to actually imagine it. You got to think it through. You might have to conjure up in your mind a picture with you know, make it however you want. A guy has a gun to your head. You're tied up to a pole and they're about to light the fire under your feet. And it's whatever the form of death is. So, Mamash, think about that. And think of the guy threatening you and saying, I am going to do this unless you bow down to this idol, unless you proclaim that, you know, that Christianity is the true religion, or whatever the, you know, whatever the threat is. And you stand up and just actually say, I will not. And then they actually go through with their threat. And the more that you can feel it happening, the more that you can use your imagination to make it happen in your head, the more it's more as if you did it. And it brings Hizkalas HaShechina to this world. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do, and it's a little frightening. But it's not an Ayin Hara. See, people say, well, I don't want to think about that, then maybe it'll happen. First of all, it's not an Ayin Hara. It's a mitzvah to think that through, and therefore nothing, shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra, nothing bad is going to happen because of it. Second of all, no one wants this sort of thing to happen. It's not a good thing that it happens. If chas v'shalom would happen and a person would pass the test, they would reach an unbelievable madrega. The madrega would be beyond what the malachim can imagine. Rabbi Akiva, as you know the story, when they were killing him, so he was saying Shema. And this Talmidim said to him, Ad Kan, you're still going to say Shema? So he said, what do you mean? I was mitzdayer on this pasuk. When would I ever have a chance to do it? B'chol nafshecha. Now I have a chance, and I shouldn't do it right? Rabbi Kiva was finally achieving the goal that he had reached for his whole life, which was to be mekadeshim shamayim in this way. So I'm saying the madrega of someone who does this is beyond what the malachim can imagine. Forget what we can imagine. So it's not an ayin hara, and it's not a bad thing. One should think it through. Hopefully it'll never be necessary, but one should still think it through if they can, as much as best they can.
People don't serve idols nowadays anymore, so it's so hard to imagine that. Like
Christianity. Christianity is Avodah Zarah.
So if someone says, oh, either convert to Christianity, that's considered in the situation.
Sure. Sure. Persons will to give their life instead of committing to Christianity. Mm-hmm. For sure.
ISIS.
What's that?
ISIS.
Yeah, for well, Islam may not be Avodah Zarah. That may not be. But Christianity, for sure, according to the vast majority of Paiskim, Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Vast majority. What happened in Spain with those who converted secretly, they were wrong for doing that. It was wrong to convert. Everybody agrees it was wrong to do that. Now, it's hard to judge them because, Baruch Hashem, we've never gone through that. And Chas V'Shalom, we should never have to go through that. So no one is saying that they were bad people, but it was the wrong decision. It was the wrong decision. One is not allowed to convert even secretly, you know, even in a fake way. One is not allowed to do that. And it was wrong to do it. What happened is that after they did that, those who managed to eventually come back to Yiddishkeit, there was great resentment on the part of those who remained Jewish and never converted. But in the end, they were allowed back. Unfortunately, the vast majority of those who converted ended up becoming Christians. The vast majority. But it's not allowed to be done. It is usur. You're not even allowed to say if a person, I mean, the exact details of this in Shulchan Aruch, I have to look up to the exact details, but there are certain situations you're not allowed to say, I'm a goy. You can fake being a goy. And it's in order to avoid, you know, being seen as a Jew, but to say, I am a goy. It's not so posh you're allowed to say that.
What's the question?
Because that is a way of saying that it's like
you're taking on their beliefs.
Well, it's throwing away, it's saying, it's rejecting Yiddishkeit. Mm-hmm. So it's not so posh to be able to do that. But certainly, we the vast majority of Pesachim say Christianity is Avodah Zarah. We live in a country of Avodah Zarah. Mm-hmm. We really live in a country of non-belief at all. I mean, even those who believe don't really practice. So that's really what we live in. But the religion that we're living around is, according to the vast majority of Pesachim, Avodah Zarah. Now, the Ramchal goes on to explain Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vaed, which is the next step. So, the Ramchal explains that Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vaed is a statement, as we know, that the Malachim make. The Malachim make that statement. Because that statement of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vaed is a statement of a complete and total realization of everything that the Pasuk of Shema is saying. And Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is it's also a statement, but it is a statement that is almost, you know, Shema Yisrael, understand Yisrael. Listen, here's what I want to say. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When we're saying that, we're saying it, we want to believe that. We're making that statement. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vaed is a statement that is said by those who already recognize Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is what we have to recognize. Once one recognizes that, they can say with conviction, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vaed. Now, I don't understand fully why Baruch Shem is only reserved for those who understand it fully. But nevertheless, it is what the Malachim say, and that's why we only say it quietly, because really a person in this world, because we don't see everything clearly, and we have chumrius, we have physicality that is pulling us away from Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, therefore it would be disingenuous for us to claim that Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vaed. To say that we see that 100% clearly would not be true. However, we know that it is a pasuk that the Malachim say, because they don't have the issue of chamrius, of physicality. And as the Medrash says, that when the Shvatim said to Yaakov Avinu, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Yaakov Avinu, on his deathbed, was able to respond, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vaed, because on his deathbed, with his Mitasai Shlema, with all the Shvatim, all Tzadikim, there, ready to become Klal Yisrael, he was able to see clearly. And he was able to say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vaed. He already had a din of a Malach at that point in his life. So we say it, but we say it quietly. On Yom Kippur, what we are trying to be Malachim, we say it out loud. But that pasuk of Baruch Shem is a statement that of pure conviction that Hashem is everything that is mentioned in Shema Yisrael. The rest of Kriyat Shema, so you have the first parasha, which is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And in Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, we mention B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Me'adecha. What does B'chol Levavcha mean anyway?
All your heart.
Okay, so what does that mean with all your heart?
Your
okay, so what does it mean with your Yetzer Hara?
You're supposed to like strategize to use it and to like figure yourself out, like to do mitzvahs.
Okay.
You use that desire. Let's say a person has a desire for something that's not good. They use that desire to serve Hashem. Meaning,
okay, I have desire to eat.
So you don't Shabbos.
I shouldn't eat it all during the week.
Make a bracha,
especially on Shabbos. Eat to give you energy to serve Hashem.
Okay, so
you make a bracha before you eat in order to.
Okay. So. When we say with your Yetzer Hara, we don't mean the Yetzer Hara, which means the thing that's trying to get you to Averis. We mean physicality, because your physical self is what's pulling you towards Averis. So serving Hashem with your Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, serving Hashem with your physical self is that all the drives that I have a drive to eat. I have a drive to sleep. I have a drive to be lazy. I have a drive to be mean. I have a drive to desire honor. I have a drive for gaiva, for pride. I have a drive for anger. All these drives. I have a drive for stinginess. I have a drive to speak Lashon Hara. So all these drives, they do have a positive expression. So when one is directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the drives can also be directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if the reason that I'm eating is in order to give myself strength to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the reason I'm eating is because there's a mitzvah of Einig Shabbos, so then the eating itself is now a physical pursuit which is being directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my physical pursuit. The difference between eating to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and eating to serve my belly, the way you can tell, one way, this is not the difference, this is a barometer to tell which one it is the way I make the bracha. That's the most obvious sign. If I make my bracha quickly and I mumble it, then the bracha is like an impediment. I really just want to eat. But I have this rule that I live by that I can't eat until I make a bracha. So I get the bracha out of the way as quickly as I possibly can so that I can get to what I really want, which is the food. So the bracha is an impediment. So I got to get it out of the way. Baruch Hashem, I say brachas. I wouldn't think of skipping the bracha. Nevertheless, it's in the way. So I zip through it in order to get to the food. That's because what I really want is to serve my stomach. If I'm eating to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the bracha doesn't become an impediment. The bracha is actually part of the eating process. Because the eating is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bracha is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bracha is just an extension of the thing that I'm already doing, which is eating. It's not an impediment. It's not anti-eating. It's part of the eating process, which is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the way you can see it is how I make the bracha. Therefore, if a person wants to eat for the proper reasons and is having trouble doing that, which it's hard to do that, it's hard to eat for the proper reasons, one way of getting ourselves into the mode of eating for the proper reasons is to focus on the bracha. Because the chitzonius are the pnimius, and if I make my bracha properly, that will help me eat properly. They go together. With sleeping, so I go to sleep because I love sleeping. Right? I'm tired. I love to sleep. Right. So again, there am I sleeping in order to refresh myself so that I can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or am I sleeping because I love to sleep? So there again, what is the sleeping? Is the sleeping a means to an end, or is it an end in and of itself? So one way to gauge that is also the bracha of Hamapil. That's one way to gauge it. Because again, is it an impediment? I just want to go to sleep. So I got to get Hamapil out of the way. Or is, since the sleeping is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Kriyat Shema Lamita and Hamapil is an extension of what I'm doing when I sleep. Another way to gauge whether I'm sleeping for myself or for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is how I get up in the morning. Right? If I can't get out of bed in the morning, so that's because the sleep is really the thing that I want to do. So I have to fight with myself to get up in the morning. If the sleep is only a way to energize myself to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it wouldn't be a fight to get up in the morning. Even if I'm very, very tired, and I say to myself, I didn't get enough sleep, but the fact is, it's time to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the sleeping is just another way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So right now, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me is not sleeping. What he wants from me is to get up. So I get up, even though I'm tired. It's another gauge to why I'm doing it. And those are easy because there's a bracha involved. There's a purpose. It's a little harder when it comes to midos and things of that nature. Nevertheless, there are ways you can use the midos towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu or towards myself. Yeah.
What do you mean you use the midah towards yourself?
Well, if I use my midah of stinginess to avoid giving tzedakah, it's because I'm serving myself. Right? If I use my midah of stinginess to avoid giving more than what the halacha says I should give, then I'm using the midah to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's be'etzem, I really want to give to the poor person who needs more money. But the halacha says I can't give more than 20%. That's the highest level I can give. The halacha forbids it. Not allowed to. So there I need to use my midah of stinginess to not give more than I'm supposed to. Right? So it's appropriate to use my midah of stinginess there. Because the halacha is you can't give more than 20%, because if a person does, they themselves may become poor. Chas v'shalom. And that's not helpful. That's not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. So it's true with all midas. Any midah, you can take it too far. Chesed is good up to a point. Chesed is not good if I'm getting walked all over. So at a certain point, I have to use achzarius to say this person is not respecting boundaries. And it's not healthy for that person or for me. And then I need to use achzarius. So, but am I doing it for me or am I doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And again, it's you can tell the difference based on some of the ways that it's done. Right? If I'm using achzarias, or stinginess, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the way that I convey it to the other person is going to be with a smile, and it's going to be pleasant, and it's going to be with an apology. If I'm using achzarias or stinginess for myself because I want to hold on to my money or because I don't want to help other people, so then the way I convey that is going to be with an edge. It's going to be with a, like, you know, a little bit of an attitude. Right? You can see it. You can tell. In the first parasha of Shema, you also have v'shinantam levanecha, which is that the mitzvah to make sure to pass on the Torah to the next generation. That's there also. And you also have mezuzah, about bringing into our homes. A lot of elements to the first parasha. Second parasha is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, Schar V'Einish, to know that if we do what we're supposed to, there's going to be Schar, and if Chas V'Shalom we don't, then there'll be Einish. To know that that is 100% true. Schar V'Einish really is in the next world. All that we're reading about in the second parasha of Shema is really only to facilitate doing mitzvahs or to make it more difficult to do mitzvahs. Nevertheless, it is the conviction that there will be schar and there will be einish. There's no way to avoid that. There's going to be schar and chas v'shalom there's going to be einish. One can do teshuva for an avera, in which case they get schar. But there's no way to say an avera that remains an avera will not get einish. There is einish. And then, of course, there is the parasha of tzitzis, the third parasha, which includes Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, Yetzias Mitzrayim is said every day in Shema. As the Ramchal explains, that that after the chet of Adam Harishon, which we've talked about, the whole world diminished. It fell dramatically. And it remained in that diminished state until Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu and then Yitzchak and Yaakov built Klal Yisrael. And now Klal Yisrael was meant to be that group that would bring back the Shekhinah into the world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But in order for Klal Yisrael to become Klal Yisrael, we had to go through Mitzrayim. We had to go through the Yisurim of Mitzrayim to become Mitzuraf, to become formed, to become purified, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned every day, not just because of the Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, and we owe him a great deal. We owe him everlasting Hakaras HaTov for saving us. But also, it is the way that we became Klal Yisrael. And so we acknowledge and recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us Klal Yisrael through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Included in Kriya Shema, as you know, is that Kriya Shema has 248 words. Ramach. What is that keneged?
The bones of the body.
Okay, so the bones of the body and mitzvah asay. Right. That's right. Ramach evarim and also mitzvah asay. So the ramach, tevos in Kriya Shema are meant to be misakin every element of a person's body, and also it's the mitzvahs as well, the ramach mitzvahs. Just as a person's body has ramach evarim, somehow, and I don't understand this, the bria also has ramach evarim. The bria as a whole also somehow has ramach evarim, whatever it means to be the evarim of the bria. And when we say Kriya Shema properly, we are being misakin the ramach evarim of the bria as well as the human body. There are brachas before and after Kriya Shema. The bracha
before the first bracha before Kriya Shema is a bracha in general about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mechadesh the whole Bria. The Ramchal writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh the Bria in two ways daily. One way is that in order for us to exist, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mechadesh. But two, that's just to exist, to continue existing. But two is that each day is different than any other day there ever was. Today, this day, which is, today was Gimel, Sivan, we're heading into Dala tonight, which just right now is Spanish Mashas, so right. So between Gimel and Dala, Sivan, of Tafshin, Ayin Hay, so this date, this day, never was and never will be. And the day itself has a hischatshus that never happened before in all of history and will never happen. And it's different. We may not perceive it. How is today different than yesterday? How is it different than tomorrow? But it is. And therefore, whatever hashpos are coming from Shamayim, and whatever bechinas there are in the world, they are different today, and they will be a bit different tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that is acknowledged in the first bracha of Shema. The second bracha of Shema is the particular love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael, and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bracha after Shema is the bracha that acknowledges all of the nisim and niflaos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The paradigm for the nisim and niflaos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why it focuses on Yetzias Mitzrayim, on Kriyas Yam Suf, on Makas Becharis. All of that is spoken about in the bracha after Shema. But the real thrust of that bracha is the nisim and niflaos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At night, there's another bracha of Hashkivenu because of the particular challenges of the nighttime that we go to sleep. And Hashkivenu was about that. I want to point out to you about Hashkivenu, and I know the women don't always say Yivmairif, but you should just know about this, that the Gemara in Maseches Brachas asks the question, that we know there's a mitzvah to be Masmech Ge'ula L'Tfilah. That after you say the Bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael, immediately afterwards, you should say Shmona Esrei. I believe he's going to speak about this in the next parak, when he talks about Shmona Esrei. But there is an inid v'mas mechkuula l'tfila. So the Gemara asks, then how is it that we could say Hashkivenu at night? Hashkivenu comes after Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael, before Shmona Esrei. Isn't that a hefsek between the two? So the Gemara answers, Hashkivenu is a geula arichta. It's a long geula. Hashkivenu is a form of geula, a form of redemption, which it's a nice thing for the Gemara to say. It's not clear what it means. Why is Hashkivenu like Geula? Rabbi Yoina writes in Maseches Brachos that on the night of Makas Becharis, Klal Yisrael were told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to kill all the Becharis. And if we have to do the Karban Pesach, and by doing the Karban Pesach, our Becharis will live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Paiseach. He'll skip over our houses and only kill the Becharis of the Mitzrim. When the Becharis of Klal Yisrael went to sleep that night, even though they had done the Mitzvah of Karban Pesach, they were still scared. There was a kitrug against Becharis. Becharis were going to be killed that night. And they knew their lives were in danger. Therefore, before they went to sleep, they said a tefillah, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect them on that night when the Becharis were going to be killed. And the tefillah they said was Hashkivenu. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, so Hashkivenu was coined, it was made up, on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the night of Geula. That's why Hashkivenu is a Geula Arichta. It's an elongated Geula. It's not another subject. It is an extension of the bracha of Goal Yisrael. And that's why it's not a hefsek. It's not a separation between Goal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei. We're going to end here. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be able to continue. We should be able to have a shiur next week. I hope so. We will continue next week with Shemona Esrei, right? The Kriya Shema really is the central thing, central way that we really build our emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way that we really accept on ourselves our avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Women are not mechuyavos to say Kriya Shema, but if you have time to do it, it is worthwhile to do it and to include as many of the kavanas as you can in saying Kriya Shema. You see how powerful it is and what it does for a person to think through Kriya Shema properly.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.